Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Vic at VWeb, Jack at Jack Not John, and today we are talking about the NCAA's new and amended basketball agent provisions. We're talking about Fatty Patty Reed, that's what I'm calling him now, winning the Northern Trust. We're then talking about the FedEx Cup playoffs and some of their new rules that you may not be aware of, some general football news, and New York baseball, which is smoking hot. Beginning with the NCAA, the process for agents representing basketball players changed over the last week. It went from, if you were in college, you could not have an agent, to now, you can have an agent. But very specifically, only if your agent has a bachelor's degree, has a certification from the NBPA for three consecutive years, professional liability insurance, whatever, a whole laundry list. But then, based on those rules, Rich Paul came out with a comment. I'm going to turn it over to Victor for that comment.
I will give as dramatic a reading as I can. Rich Paul said, requiring a four-year degree accomplishes only one thing, systematically excluding those who come from a world where college is unrealistic. Does anyone really believe that a four-year degree is what separates an ethical person from a con artist? Let's also be clear that once the NCAA requires a four-year degree for athletes testing the waters, it's only a matter of time until this idea is socialized, no longer questioned, and then more broadly applied.
Thank you, Victor, for that dramatic reading. From there,
This is me playing the world's smallest violin. That's what I'm doing over here for Rich Paul.
Wait on it.
I'm not going to wait on it. Let me chime in with just on those comments. That's a little outrageous with what Rich Paul is saying. I love what he's doing because he's the big dick of the NBA. I mean, he's got LeBron James under his name. He's got guys like Anthony Davis, KCP, my boy, Draymond Green, and he gives us a little sob story. And he's kind of right. But I mean, for him to take that angle, come on. I mean, he got the job done because as you're gonna go into it, what he did works. The little theatrics worked and it changed. But I think what Rich Paul did was, you know, he put on an Oscar winning performance.
Right. And this hits home for Rich Paul, who I should have started does not have a college degree, so this offends him in a personal way. And also someone who he's buddy-buddy with Maverick Carter, I believe, also does not have a college degree.
Neither does LeBron James. Look, and from there, not to cut you guys off, but I just want to give the full story. From there, playing on the world's smallest violin, exactly as Jack said, clearly somebody at the NCAA agreed with you because immediately they said that they were made aware of several current agents who have appropriately represented former student-athletes in their professional quest and were allowed to be an agent without a bachelor's degree. My first question is, are we buying that it's several agents or just Rich Paul? Clearly, Jack, by your answer previously, you think that this is just Rich Paul sort of controlling.
I don't think it's just Rich Paul, but I think when you're LeBron James' best friend and agent, and you've been doing that for the entirety of LeBron's career, you're held to a certain standard, and you have, you know, a certain degree of influence over both the players and management and the NBA. And don't be fooled. They knew this list of agents that didn't have a bachelor's degree 2 weeks ago before they enacted or tried to bring in this little legislation.
It makes sense. It's like, why would the NCAA ever, the NCAA, college basketball, why would they ever promote don't go to college? All that they want is for you to go to college, spend money on college, go to college games, buy college merch. It doesn't make any sense for the NCAA to ever promote that an agent cannot go to college to represent one of their student athletes.
You know why this is also so huge? Who's coming up into college in just 2 or 3 years? Bronny James. You think the NCAA doesn't want LeBron James Jr. in a Duke jersey? Imagine him bypassing college. LeBron would be like, don't go to college. Look at how they're handling your future. They don't want you to. They're pushing us away. I didn't go to college. Don't go to college. Now LeBron James, who said that he would have gone to Duke if he could do it all over again. I think this is like, okay, we'll amend these rules to get on LeBron James, Bronny James, Rich Paul, to get on their good side.
You have to remember, Rich Paul's also the guy that convinced Darius Brazley, who could have gone
to Cuse.
To college. To Cuse, he was either 13 or 23. Yeah, I know there's a 3 in there.
He's 12.
Recruit going in, this is last year, convinces him, don't do that. Train for whatever he said.
Train for a whole
train
year.
Train for a whole year. Get $1 million internship from New Balance as an 18 turning 19 year old, which is a remarkable thing. And props to him and props to Brazley, who made the money. But I mean, what bothers me and the other part of the quote that I left out, which I'm going to have to bring in, is his line where he says, the people being locked out are kids who aspire to be an agent, work in the NBA, do not have the resources, opportunity, or desire to get a 4-year degree. Desire, that's their choice. There are plenty of people who choose not to go to college. There's so many great stories of European immigrants who never went to school once, came here, started some billion-dollar business. That's props to you if you want to work. But if you're going to talk about desire, then they're not being locked out. They're locking themselves out. I don't know if he meant it that way, but to me it's that if you're saying they don't have a desire because they don't have the means, sure, there are ways to get there. There are ways to get scholarships. There's tons of money that schools give out.
Especially for student-athletes.
100%. But even the kids who just want to be agents sort of shortcut it. Like, Rich Paul, not everybody has your remarkable story and the way Maverick Carter met LeBron James in an airport and sold him a jersey. Like, it's great that these things happen. But if this is what they want, I mean, to come out and give this whole little speech, sob story, violin, whatever, I just don't get it. He knew they were coming after him and they were making him an example.
Is this not full... from NCAA, full basketball, from NCAA to the NBA, tampering on a whole level that we've never seen before, where you have a single agent representing the most powerful person in basketball, single-handedly controlling from before you enter college through the NBA how you are represented and who is represented. Because if I think about it, you're totally right. With Bronny, this is changing the way that LeBron James's son can now be represented, make money, and go to the NBA. What team is he going to play for?
Or Rich Paul is
probably the team that he wants to.
Rich Paul is the option in that period to go back to school and get a degree, technically.
Sure.
If we're going to throw that out.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but if need be, Ohio State will just write him a little degree. Here you go, Rich Paul. Now do your thing because you've now graduated from the Ohio State University. But yeah,
I couldn't see, but Jack had a quote.
I had quotes. I'm Eric.
An honorary Buckeye.
Not me. But yeah, Rich Paul. Your question. I mean, players have more influence than ever before. Rich Paul is his own entity. I mean, Clutch Sports now under the umbrella of UTA. He's got, you know, he's part of nearly every transaction every summer. I mean, big guys, small guys. He's got LeBron James, AD. He's got middle tier guys. He's got guys on the come up. Don't forget, we're talking about Bronny James. Bronny James is playing with Dwayne Wade's kid. He's playing at one of the best high school teams in the country. You don't think Rich Paul's not showing up to games, meeting these guys? These guys are going to be like, holy shit, that's Rich Paul.
Yeah.
But
that's tampering.
Tampering is an organization. We're now going to say tampering between representatives. I think we have to draw the line from ourselves from drawing the line. You get what I'm saying? We can't just, at a point, we're looking out for the kid. If there's a guy out there like Rich Paul who's made millions for other people, is it really the worst thing that he gets to know a young kid from when the kid becomes special? Why could college teams look at a kid so much before a guy who's actually going to make them real money can? Like, why is it okay that UNC Duke goes to look out these kids, can't pay them, but they're sending them nonstop emails, calls, inviting their families? And this guy, Rich Paul, and other really great agents, because it's not just Rich Paul. There's some awesome agents out there. And they can't develop that same relationship. They're not even paying the kid yet. We still have that whole no gifts, none of that shit. But you get what I'm saying? I think we as fans, the NCAA, who constantly seem to fuck everything up, just pump the brakes. Pump the brakes. Because, yeah, I said Rich Paul the violin. He's completely right. LeBron James could give better advice than anyone on the planet about whether to go straight to the NBA or not. And we're going to say he's not like, if he were an agent, he's not qualified. I mean, I find that a little ridiculous. Or Rich Paul, who's seen the whole process.
I guess that my point there was that, sure, Bronny Jr. is not getting gifts. He's not getting cars. He's the son of LeBron James, and he's getting gifts and he's getting cars.
And tacos.
Taco Tuesday. If I hear that one more fucking time, I swear I'm never eating tacos again. But it's just, it's all very close. And by the way, if I was Bronny, why wouldn't I want to play with Wade's son? Why wouldn't I be friends with Shareef O'Neal? Why wouldn't I, like, you just, it's this clique of young NBA, like, sons of superstars and Hall of Famers. And
it's what LeBron had with CP, Melo, Wade, and it's even earlier because those guys developed it, you know, coming into their rookie year and the rookie camp. And these guys are now literally growing up in high school, going to college together as best friends.
It's kind of sick.
And they'll probably have a podcast together down the line. Who knows? Maybe call it The Tits or something like that and blow us out of the water. We'll be on the streets.
I think what it actually does, since you brought up Duke and UNC, and it got me thinking of Zion Williamson. Zion, I don't know if it's still going on, but there's a lawsuit that apparently he said to some agent, I forgot what the agency was called. It was some kind of
it was some schmucko.
And
agency.
Was it one of the five families?
I don't know. And
family office
could have been the Gugliottas. And then he goes to CAA, and then there's this whole dispute. I feel like if anything, this whole process of if you want to debate to stay in school, like once the basketball season's over, or even maybe while it's going on, I haven't dug that deep to know when this representation can start. If it's your first day of enrollment as freshman year, or if it's the last game of the season NCAA tournament. Either way, think of anything, it provides some structure, and that knowing that you could be talking to an agent that could be representing you for the rest of your career, whether you want to stay a second year or a third year, I think it actually adds some structure and it would clear up. And I think that's what comes back to this. They need a 4-year degree because these agents, whether they were former athletes or not, can think of the mind of a college kid, and whether you want to be in business or sports, either way, you're thinking, how can I make money the fastest? What's my best route? And I think that's really what they were going for. It's completely, I agree with both of you, it's too hard to block out that the NCAA is a business itself and needs to make money from the endorsements. And that's been debated for decades and will continue to be debated until they decide to change it. Maybe they can be paid for bringing all the recognition to the school. But I think it was definitely a well-thought-out rule. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why in August, first week of August, they say, let's roll out this whole new criteria. And one of the main things has to be of a degree.
They are keeping the other three criteria. It's not like some guy could just walk into a gym, convince some kid to, you know, fuck college, let's go straight, or, you know, and have this influence and be recognized by the NBA as an agent. You still have to satisfy these other three prongs. And I mean, no bum is just going to
be
entitled to be like, hey, all right, see you, NCAA, we're good. Like,
we'll see, though, because this is a really, we're talking this through and it seems like we're in agreement that this is probably a good thing, but this is a really good thing for Zion Williamson-esque players. It's a really good thing for the Cole Anthonys of the world prospects. This is a really dangerous thing for that middle-tier college player on Virginia that locks himself into something, and then you're staring down far bigger lawsuits than the Zion Williamsons, where you're being signed, okay, you're not great, you know you're going to make the NBA, but an agent approaches you from a small shop. All of a sudden, in your senior year, you blow the fuck up, and you're amazing, and you go second overall, but you're locked. You know what I mean? Like, it presents the opportunity for these kids to really be taken advantage of, especially the ones that don't know any better, that aren't growing up in these wild communities where they have LeBron James paving the path for them. It's a little dangerous.
I hear what you're saying, but you're saying that these players, these college players, are being taken advantage from.
Saying they could be.
They could be from smaller agents, maybe not reaching their full potential in regards to representation. Like, instead of being represented by Rich Paul after blowing up, they're still represented by this middle tier agent. Now think about
who took all their money. Said something like, because you all of a sudden you don't believe in yourself. You're like, oh, I'm just so excited to be rep by an agent, and that agent crafts some kind of a wild deal.
Well, that agent goes to jail. You can't just craft
the
deals.
Thing is,
but hold on. Could I just make one point to this? Now imagine that same middle tier player having to decide between going to the NBA without any advice, without any representation, because never before were these guys even allowed to be represented. So they're asking their parents, family, friends, do I go to the NBA or do I go back to college? Testing the waters and saying, I'm going to go into the draft. and you're not allowed back to college. Let's say you go undrafted. Let's say you get hurt.
But I thought it's that you don't have an agent, then you're allowed to go. Or is that
football? But no. You go, you try and get drafted because you're told one thing, but you don't have, you don't really have representation. Now you're growing, whether it be a top-tier agent or one of these middle-tier guys, you have someone in your corner.
Right.
And I think that's invaluable. And whether the guy drafts a really good favorable deal for himself as the agent, I think, you know, money's money. Work for that next contract and, you know, go pro.
No,
that's the end goal.
Honestly, to get back to Ben's point for a second, even if you get to that stage where it's like, all right, sophomore year, I thought I could maybe go, whatever. Then I end up staying junior, senior. If the agent's not collecting any money all those 3 years, but that's what he's saying. If the kid gets sucked into this, like, let's say, mid-tier agency, whatever, because he didn't know what he could be, whatever, then he blows up his crazy junior, senior year, wins most outstanding player of the tournament. That whole time, that agency is working for free. They're not getting anything. So if anything, it shows loyalty to going forward. And whether or not they could have landed this deal or that deal, no deal's actually being negotiated until it's time to get to the draft.
You still can't make money as a college
player. You might be like, I hate this guy.
Then probably those middle-tier guys won't be represented at all because they're not going to take a risk on
them. This could be targeted to sort of like a couple of tiers, mostly the guys who are one and done, and that's a culture that's just been in the NBA for the last 20 years.
I want to switch gears to the complete other side of the spectrum. This is entering basketball. I want to talk about exiting basketball. I want to talk about the big three for a second because I want to know, did either of you guys see Nate Robinson get the ball stolen from him by Glenn Big Baby Davis only to recover it, shoot a three, bank it in for the win, and be caught in midair by Glenn Big Baby Davis?
And if you actually watched the clip, there was no stealing. It was
almost a steal.
It was a diving heave on the floor by Glenn Davis, a 6'7", I guess he's 280.
By the way, 6'7",
I mean, he's 300, sorry.
Do you know how generous you are
Zion,
6'7",
280.
He's in the twos.
Fine, three tens.
Or 6'7", I feel like he's 6'7", when he wears, like, stilts. He was the smallest big man of all time.
I think I'm going 6'6", 310.
I think it's 6'7", 308.
I think he's like 330. Have you seen what he looks like?
He's a beast.
He looks like he ate Coutinho Mobley.
He did. It's rest in peace, Coutinho.
And spat him back out, and that's why he's so gray.
Rest in peace, Coutinho. But yeah, that shot was insane.
And actually,
it looked staged. It looked staged.
He was caught.
It looked like Nate Robinson was tied up to the ceiling, like jumps in the air, and like in comes Glenn Davis. And,
like a ballet.
It looked like Dirty Dancing. Patrick Swayze.
It's Soleil.
It's hilarious.
It's really the reverse of when they were in the 2010 finals against the Lakers, and they're both on the Celtics. And I couldn't stand the Celtics. And I think it was game 4, or maybe it was game 5, because the Lakers had to go and win 2 in a row. And
Lakers sick.
And the Celtics are up by like 20, and Nate Robbins has this Big Baby has this and-one, and he's like screaming and drooling. And if you slow it
Nate
Robinson jumps on his back. And there were all these like Shrek and Donkey caricatures after. This was way before memes. It's 2010.
Yeah, caricatures. We were drawing our own
and
memes.
There's, I can never get this image out of my mind. One, because I loved Kobe and the Lakers and I couldn't stand the Celtics. But two, it's Glenn Davis screaming and this long strain of drool just hanging, whipping around. Then you have Nate Robinson jump on top, and he's also screaming and drooling on top of his head.
Vic is getting so schmitzy just from describing the 2010 NBA Finals.
I couldn't stand them. That was one of the best finals ever.
It's his brain. His brain slowly, as he tries to recall.
I couldn't forget it, because I was like, that's it. The Lakers have lost twice
when
the Celtics.
Gears
and now
grinded,
you have Glenn Davis and Nate Robinson, the 10th and 11th guys off the bench, celebrating an and-one when they're up 20 in the fourth
Damn
quarter.
Damn good guys to be your 10th and 11th man.
Did you see who's Nate Robinson's teammate?
Stat?
Jay Rich.
Jason Richardson?
The dunker.
Richardson.
Wow. Such
Nate,
a good
he
dunker.
He nailed a three right before
really?
Nate. Yep. The big three is possibly, I know we've discussed a couple of times on this show, I think it's just genius. It's a retirement home for the players that just have a little juice left, and now we get to see them. Like, I'm so excited for Vince Carter to have his last year this year. Maybe go to the big three. You guys are looking at me strangely.
No, I know. It's only funny you said Vince Carter because a light bulb went off my head right before you went on your little retirement home rant because you said Jason Richardson. And then I thought of another great dunker, as Jack said, dunker. They should have, like, a throwback 40s dunk contest.
I don't want to watch that. I could barely watch the dunk contest.
If I told you I could get you
prime.
Jason Richardson, Vince Carter, and and Kobe Bryant, you wouldn't watch that?
Maybe it's like a Friday night All-Star weekend, the thing that no one's watching.
With Mark Lassery.
They're going to do it, I'm sure. The big three has only begun to scratch the surface. Like, finally, we're talking about it.
Like I think the
before
best.
Before it was like a joke.
Nothing else on when the Olympics are going on next summer. I bet you no one's tuning into this crap.
But there's also going to be 3-on-3 at the Olympics. I think the best thing that happened to the big three this season is that they like dismissed Baron Davis and Lamar Odom, giving it some sort of competitiveness, giving it kind of like a standard that you have to reach in order to play. I mean, Coutinho Mobley looks old as shit, but he's got some game left in the tank.
I was going to say, shout out to Baron Davis. We do still love you, but yeah, I like that they sort of set the bar. And I mean, Lamar Odom, the guy is a former crackhead.
I hate that Baron is
By the way, I don't know why you grouped Baron and Lamar.
I hate that BD and Lamar were both dismissed at the same
time. BD's been on TNT for a couple years.
BD's the man.
Baron Davis has a great head on his shoulders. Lamar Odom saw heaven and came back. Wow, and he should just be happy that he's alive.
We really love BD. We're BD guys. We're big time BD guys.
Not to be too Victor and go back into the depths of my brain, but I have a really, I'm sure that you're going to correct the year, but watching Baron Davis and that Warriors team as the eight seed.
The We Believe team.
Matt Barnes,
Corey Maggette.
I'm calling both of you and talking on Andres the phone for Biedrins. Hours.
The year was 2008.
Eight or six.
It was the 06-07.
It was the 07 Mavs.
It was the second round they were going through. They beat the Mavs in the first round, six games.
Yeah.
And then the infamous Baron Davis poster on AK-47, a.k.a. Andre Kirilenko, in Golden State, lifts up his shirt, gets technical foul.
We all bought those Warrior shorts. We all spent way too much money to get some fabric with like a W on it.
Nope. Just you.
Yeah, I think they're sitting somewhere. Was it just, I think they're sitting somewhere in the archives.
I'm sure they're sitting somewhere in your drawer.
I'm just hoarding these things for our kids.
Yeah, that's what you're saying now.
You're hoarding these things for eBay.
I would have given it to you, but the thread is just coming off. There's no value.
Yeah, I'll take it. You're like refurbishing my clothes. Like, I'll put it together.
I should melt like a quilt together. Like all the vintage
that's
NBA.
That's a good idea. All of the items that you've stolen.
That would have been really nice birthday present, by the way. So thoughtful.
All of the shorts that you've taken throughout the years, you make into a quilt.
It'll take me a while, but I think I can get there. There's a nice knitting class going on two doors down.
I'd love to get a video of you putting tireless hours in at your apartment with like a light, like 4 a.m. There's
and then
Victor,
you get like the slow music. I will remember, like as I'm looking at each piece. It's like, oh, Jack gave this to me in 2009 on that day.
The sun was shining. It was a Sunday.
I had an egg and cheese for breakfast.
God, dark.
Then the dogs came. I'm kidding.
Literally on Saturday, we're in Vermont. Vic walks out. He's wearing a nice pair of shorts. I'm like, God, Victor, those are nice orange shorts. Where'd you get them? Mine. 2011. How old was I? It's
literally last year. February.
By the way,
played at Heschel.
All right, 2018.
Sorry. Our friend's court on the west side.
Vic had more of my clothes this weekend than I did.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
I don't know. It's the only time I've ever fit into a 31 waist.
Jeez.
I thought it wasn't possible.
I can't believe that you did that.
At least you had a bag.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, you go away for a weekend. You pack your bag. You go to the door. Don't you say, well, do I have my bag? Do I have my other bag? Okay, let's go. Jack did not do that this weekend.
I had the tequila in one hand. And I think maybe a kombucha in the other. And
I mean,
was
I just
ready
don't know
to go
who gets
away
in a
for
car
a
for 5 hours and doesn't double, triple, quadruple check.
It's not even that
they
like
have
it,
everything
at
with
some
them.
Point you have like that nervous feeling. Like, oh,
I did.
No, you went. At what point in the trip did you have?
And it was, I can't believe I forgot code names. It was about 4 hours in.
Code names. Oh,
it took me all the way to get there
like
for
you
me
got
to look
there for you. To
I
look
got
in.
There for me to look in the trunk, get ready to pull out my stuff, and I'm like, that's weird. Could have sworn I was. I knew I was coming here, and I didn't pack anything.
And it's not even like you were going to the airport, like you left a bag.
I had 6 hours to think about
it. You just take it to a car. That's it. You don't have to worry about a taxi, which you've done before.
It was a blunder.
You don't have to worry about security. You just get in that car.
Shout out to friends for helping you when you're down and lending you, a sock or two.
Or a bathing suit.
Yeah, a bathing suit and some sneakers.
We're here for you, my friend. My very, very dumb friend.
Thanks,
brother. But while we were in Vermont, there was also a Northern Trust going on that Patrick Reed took home.
Captain America.
What a fucking schmuck. But Liberty National, what a course. We were actually invited by the PGA, and we turned down tickets because it was Jack's birthday. Happy birthday to Jack over the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
We celebrated in Vermont, and what's worse than being rewarded with a Patrick Reed W?
Thank God we weren't there.
He jumped from 50th to 2nd in the standings, and I would like to go around. I will start with Jack. Describe Patrick Reed in one word.
A thief. I mean, the guy's, since his days playing college golf, when his teammates said, this dude is just stealing our shit, blatantly out in the open. I mean, he's a loudmouth thief. I can't bash the guy, like, to death, because there was that Ryder Cup where he put Spieth on his back, but you don't rip Jordan Spieth like he's been doing. I mean, he's a pompous douchebag, and it dates back to his time as a college golfer. Thief.
I was going to say self-proclaimed douchebag, but either works.
Yep, Vic, one word.
That is mine. There's
douchebag.
If you've ever heard me rant about LeBron James.
One word, which one?
No, it's a self-proclaimed douchebag. You get a hyphen, you get a compound.
The fucking game.
A compound.
One
adjective.
Word, Patrick Reed.
Douche.
Douche.
Bag of douche. Soft.
Fat.
Ooh.
Fatty Reed. Fat Patrick Reed. Tuck your fucking belly under your pants.
Show him how to do it, Ben.
I'll give any fat
give
man
some pointers. Give Patrick Reed some pointers out there.
Any fat man that needs a tutorial on how to hide your belly hang, reach out to me. You take the underwear, you pull them just over where the belly starts to hang over your fupa region, and you then tuck in your shirt, put on your belt, and nobody knows that you have this disgusting belly hanging over the belt
excess
buckle.
Skin.
Patrick Reed, have some kavod.
Have some kavod.
It sounds similar to like the boner tuck. You know, like when you flip the boner. Yeah. It sounds
it's exactly
like
what it is.
Right,
it's a reverse boner tuck.
It's an inverted reverse
boner. We've all been there.
Yep, we all have.
It sounds like a ski move. The inverted boner tuck 6000.
And we can hate him all we want, but the crazy news and the new structure of the FedEx Cup, which is the playoffs of the PGA Tour, is that when you win one of these three tournaments, this was the first of three, you get 2,000 points, because it's a point system, for winning, as opposed to the four majors and the Players' Championship during the year, which is only 600. So that is why Patrick Reed jumped from 50 to 2nd, and Abraham Anser, who came out of literally left field from Mexico.
But born in Texas.
Jumped from 67 number 8, because 2nd place gets 1,200 points in these playoffs.
Jesus,
in
cool.
These three playoff cups. So you're basically getting double the points to finish 2nd, that a tournament that isn't the Masters,
it's kind of not
the
fair.
Open, the U.S. Open, all these tournaments that are given this prestige, and that's why you got to win this one. It's a major. It's 600 points.
Cool. So that seems to make no sense to me. I'd love all of your opinions, but what is the incentive for anybody to bust their ass and play every weekend when they don't have to?
Yeah, you need a B for the purse. The money is one.
The purse.
And also... You can't just play conservative.
Sure, cash, but like, okay, a Tiger Woods. Why is Tiger Woods going out there every weekend?
But that's the thing. Now Tiger Woods, now that he didn't go out there last weekend, he's currently 36, and if he doesn't finish within the top 30 after the tournament this weekend, he's done.
Yeah, so what was he doing not going out there last weekend?
Well, look at guys like Brooks Koepka. The guy plays only, he's a beast at every tournament he plays in. And is he in first? Mm-hmm. And he's in first.
200 points. 206, to be exact.
Yeah.
So you got to
He wins every week.
I know, but you
and
got...
And you got a guy, Fatty Patty Reed, coming out of nowhere and stealing one in some...
But he plays a ton of tournaments.
From the Bible, Abraha Anser.
Abraham.
Oh, sorry. It's just...
He went to Oklahoma.
Avraham. There's a great Chabad community in Mexico.
Our notes say Abraha.
It's a typo on the sheet. Abraha Anser. I was like, wow, that's... So Abraham Anser, even more so, straight out of the Old Testament, onto the leaderboard.
He showed out this week.
That's what it is, though. If you're hanging around in the top 60, top 70, Harold Varner III went from 102nd to like 29th.
But he was also lingering at the Masters this year.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The thing is,
if you're lingering at these other majors, like the Open,
everything gets
like
points.
The U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the Masters, and the Players, in Sawgrass, the iconic 17th hole. If you're hanging around in those tournaments and you're finishing in the top five, and then sort of all the other majors throughout, not the other majors, the other tournaments, and you get that RBC Open, you got that, what was it, that Chase Classic that Chez Reavie won, I don't know, whatever. If you're hanging around in those even more, then if you get to the playoffs, top 125, you can just catapult yourself like three guys literally did.
Yeah, but so what does this say about majors?
I don't know.
In general.
My problem is you like them. It's the Masters.
It's not
a tradition unlike any other.
Totally.
But it's a tradition unlike four other tournaments that are worth the same amount of points.
Worth a quarter of this tournament. It's like exactly your point. The Masters. The Masters should be 2,000 points.
Right.
Not this random tournament at Liberty National. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, and that's why Tiger's 36 now. He got those 600 there. He collected whatever else he did throughout this year. And, I mean, here he is. You got Spieth at 44. You have Mickelson at 46. And, you know, this is their moment.
We got to stop riding the Mickelson train. I mean
you
got to
show the guy
what's
love.
What's dead is dead.
You got to what is dead cannot die.
What is dead may never die. But sure.
You know what I took away from this?
But, by the way, Phil Mickelson being in 46th, pretty fucking good.
Yeah. All he's got to do is get, like, top 10.
Considering he sucks. All of a sudden, he sucks.
Did you guys catch the altercation on the range between Koepka and
DeChambeau
and the scientist?
Oh, yeah. It actually started with a beef between caddies.
I actually want to do this again before you tell that story. Describe Bryson DeChambeau in one word, Jack.
Groovy.
Victor.
What?
His hat is groovy.
That's your word. What?
Annoying.
Mine. Douche. Alternate to douche. Fedora.
It's actually a Kangol hat.
He is just a fedora.
He's psychedelic.
So we call a beret.
He is LL Cool J. He's LL Cool J on the course. Go back to your story. Yeah, DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka got into a heated argument.
It was more like, you look at Brooks Koepka, the guy looks like a football player. So as we heard what Koepka said about slow play the other week, I think for some reason the scientist, DeChambeau, took a little offense to it. And on the range, he turned to Kepka's caddy and was like, hey, by the way, if Brooks wants to discuss the slow play that he has an issue with, he could take it up with me. And then, obviously, the caddy's like, you sure about that? Like, he's the best golfer in the world right now, and he's built like a fucking truck. So he told him, and Kepka's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, shut your mouth. But it's nice because now we got a little rivalry. It feels like golf, at least this season, it's not all love.
It's elevated.
It's not all love.
There's no question.
And I love it.
There's some bad blood. We owe a lot of it to Brooks Koepka because he is just so pompous and good and unapologetic and seems like he hates the sport, but nobody on earth is better. And to your point about a truck, it seems like he's built like a truck. Do you know that he's 6'3"?
And he's such a sweetheart.
Do you know that he's 6'3"?
And he's a sweetheart.
What did you think he was? When I look at him on the course, I think he's 6'6".
By the way, 6'3" is big.
6'3" is big.
I understand, but I thought he was a tight end when I first saw him.
What's wrong with your TV?
When I first saw him naked, I thought he was, Jesus Christ, Ben, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
All right, I'm going to pack up. I'm going to head home. All right. Forgot my bag shit.
Nice plug. But up next is the BMW Championship. Top 70. Make the cut.
We're going to Medina, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Apparently a lovely course. A lovely course. And I've got this nice board of odds in 70-point font.
Just for everybody wondering why we're laughing, Victor likes to print out a full page of odds. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to post it on Instagram so that you can see. It's like we're in an old age home. We're talking 96-point font.
It's
easier on the eyes.
It is
easier. You know, when you look at a screen and letters and words and papers for 70 hours a week, you kind of just want to have big font. I have big font on my phone as
could
well.
Could you incorporate word art next time you do one of these
I
things?
Will.
Like,
totally
I need a little
agree.
Color.
Or an italic.
A little shadows.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
All right, yeah, I can work in chiller font, maybe.
But we did this last week. And Vic and I were talking about, I think I won, right? I said Justin Rose.
I'll start
this week, BMW Championship at Medina in Illinois. Really nice this time of year. Great corn dogs, I've been told. I'm going to go Patrick Cantlay. The guy's been sticking around. I said this last week. Yeah, I like him at 16-1. And yeah, Patrick Canlay, but shout out John Rahm.
Vic, who do you like?
I'm going to take somebody who most people have counted out at this point.
If you say Tiger Woods, I'm going to punch you in the face.
No, the Tiger has taken himself out. The man I'm talking about is Jordan Spieth.
I knew you'd do that.
And his swing.
Ew!
His swing is, you see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. His swing has been heavily criticized that he changed it up.
He collapsed the last 2 days.
But get this, his last round, his average in the last round of tournaments this year, 67.
He's got to get there first.
He's going to get there.
And what about the first 3 days?
He'll be fine. I'm telling you, look out, Jordan Spieth.
That's like a baseball hitter batting 230.
Baseball hitter.
When it comes to the playoffs.
It's like a baseball player. No, batting 230. The first bat of the game, strikeout. Second, strikeout. Third, strikeout. Fourth, he's due.
I'll take that guy on my team, though.
All right.
Just saying, he's getting the swing there, and people could talk all they want. I mean, he's got to be like 26, maybe.
In age?
Koepka can't be older than him. I mean, can't be younger than him.
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, Spieth.
I mean, I think he's going to find his stroke.
Justin Thomas, those guys came up together. Koepka's a little older. Koepka's, I think, 29. Saf, who you got?
I'm going to take Ricky Fowler.
You've been doing this a bit, but let's do it.
Yeah, because I think that Ricky is always just hovering, and I'm just waiting for him to really just get there. And I love him. I think he has so much swag.
I also think John Rahm's pissed after last week, and he's about to catch fire. These things tend to carry over.
Yeah, John Rahm's a
he had player. It. He blew it, and he had it.
Yeah, but
that's the name of the game.
No, that's the type of guy he is. He's a blower. He blows it.
Okay, we will leave it at that.
Speaking of a blower, Ian Poulter, why is he on this list?
He always gets that love.
Yeah, why? 50-1. I want to know
who
is putting money on Ian Poulter.
He lingers, man.
Whoever's from the UK.
He's a great
Ryder Cup.
You got Jason Day there. Tiger Woods 45-1. People's a lot of good value out here. Tony Finau, the bionic ankle, 40-1. I didn't even see him on the final leaderboard at the end of this list. I don't know how he's on here.
I don't know how you didn't pick him.
I did not even see him at the end results of the Northern Trust. He wasn't even on the list.
Oh, he didn't even play. He was just on the leaderboard. They just stuck him at like 13. Like, here you go, Tony. But one last tidbit. Jason Day parted with his caddy of 2 months, Stevie Williams, who's Tiger's old caddy for like 15 years.
It seems as though it's Jason weird. Day has a problem with himself, not with his caddies.
I think it was ever since LeBron ran into him and his wife at the Cavs game. He's just been a little rattled. He's been afraid of his own shadow.
I mean, caddies are supposed to have for like years. If it's 2 months and you're out, clearly.
Caddies are like managers.
You got to pull like caddies are like girlfriends, right off. My friend.
Yep.
Well, I don't think they're like managers. I don't think they're like girlfriends either. But, you know.
They're caddies.
To each caddy his own. To each his own caddy. Who's
your caddy in life?
That's a great question. I'm flipping it around. If you're in the tournament, who is your caddy? Who are you bringing a caddy? Vic, you first.
Like anybody?
I think anybody.
Anybody.
You don't have Stevie Williams' anybody. Who's your caddy? It's going to be a little tough.
It probably shouldn't be a professional caddy. It's somebody within arm's reach. Who's your caddy? You're playing in the Northern Trust.
I mean, could I just bring Tiger Woods with me? Is that a thing?
Do I get a budget?
He's within arm's reach.
Can I go celebrity and take Barkley, even though he's probably just going to ruin
my thing? Good. Charles Barkley?
No, that was not my thing.
That was my example. Good.
I said Tiger.
Tiger.
You can pick whoever you want. I'd go.
Wait, can we go back from the dead? Can I get Steph Curry. Arnold Palmer out here?
Steph Curry's good.
Yeah.
Steph Curry knows
the greens. He's not a professional to the point where he's going to belittle me, but.
Come on, I get to hang with Steph. Can we see Ben?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna caddy for myself. I'm gonna go out there. I read the best greens, and I'm giving myself a pat on the back because last week I said something on this show that I thought that it could be a Mets Yankees World Series.
The fuck does that have to do with you rolling putts?
Yeah, and you could take Tiger Woods. I changed my mind.
You are not carrying your old clubs. You fat fuck.
You can have Tiger Woods. I changed my mind.
Shit. Nope. You're going out there with one club.
Nope. I'm going out there myself because I'm that confident because I'm the one who said that the New York Mets of the Big Apple had a real shot at making the World Series.
All right. This
and
is
after winning 15 of 17. No, no, no. Don't you dare tell me that it was a bad call.
Why do you say World Series?
Not what
just
I was
take
say.
The playoffs. Like you
I,
said
I wish
week.
I could
because
take.
Last week I called the World Series.
I wish I could
Who
take
calls?
The soundbite.
We're not even in the playoffs. Nate. They're not even in
folks,
the playoffs.
Folks
yet.
Are going to pull the soundbite because. That was not what it was. The question last week
you said get
that was
in as
posed
the wild
was, no, 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 that wasn't either. It was, who do you think is going to be the World Series matchup? And Ben said, this is my hopeful one, and this is my reality one. My hopeful one is that the Mets and the Yankees get a Subway Series like you
said
18
I said
years
Mets.
Ago.
I said
that was
Mets.
Your hopeful scenario
so what? By
if
the
they
way,
make
you're
it. No, no, I'm just saying it's not he said the Mets are charging and gonna whatever the
no,
hell he just ranted
I said that
about.
They were going to charge. And what did they do? What did they do?
They're charging.
They won 15 out of their last 17 games. They're a game back in the NL wild card.
I'm excited for them.
I'm excited for
them. I never have a problem. Like, people, not people, Mets fans get upset when Yankee fans win. When Yankees win and they
Could
get
you
upset
blame
at the
them?
Fans. Sure, but, like, when the Mets are in it, like, I'm rooting for the Mets. I've
yeah,
no we play them
yeah because we're they're not competition
right but they think we're like serious rivals and like we used to play them six times a year and now we play
and
them
we,
four times a year out of 162
and we dump on them. That's why
there's zero rivalry and we beat them in five games in the World Series. The only time they won was like some Mike Piazza heroics.
No, there's no rivalry. It's just they don't like us because we're better than them and we're in the same series. It's what we're about to go
you see
through
that they started
with
chanting,
the Knicks and the Nets.
They started chanting Yankees suck while they were playing the Nationals on a Friday. That's like a Boston thing because I've been to a Red Sox game. They start chanting Yankees suck even when they're playing the Athletics.
It's like a Celtic.
It breaks out
LA.
In the middle of the eighth inning. Like Yankees suck. It's like you're playing the Oakland A's. There's no relation.
But
I don't know what Met fans are doing.
I kind of like
it. Don't get on your high horse and don't start
You're looking
down.
Ahead. You're looking ahead. We're looking ahead to next week, you know? It's fuck the team that's ahead of us because we've already taken care of them and we want the Yankees.
I mean, I would hate the Yankees too. No matter how good the Mets are, the Yankees are...
It's a Yankee town.
Are better.
It's a Yankee town. Paint this place in pinstripe.
What the Yankees are doing to the Orioles is historic. I don't know if you guys have seen, but the Yankees have won... I think it was 16 straight games in Camden Yards. That's not just – that's this – it's mind-blowing. It's baseball. In baseball, you take a game here, a game there. That's four straight sweeps away, and they're scoring 8, 9, 10, 12 runs. They're blowing them the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean,
the Orioles are no longer a baseball team.
And I feel bad because – aside from Fenway Park, I've also been to a game in Baltimore in Camden Yards. Gorgeous.
Jesus.
Great, great fans.
Rich boy over here.
I mean, hey,
that's
just,
a classic.
You just drive 6 hours to get on the Acela.
No, that's a classic camp.
No, it wasn't
camp
one of my
move.
Family.
We're going to Baltimore.
I actually been to a lot of ballparks.
No, please, no.
We're seeing a Triple A game.
They've got great fans. And I mean, you take the last, I think it's decade, maybe more. Like, the Orioles have.
Fix.
Got on this
Take
path.
It so hard. Don't I'm worry, man.
Well, it makes the AL East look bad, and it's like the Yankees get a free, like, 18 wins every year. But, I mean, they've been so bad. I think they're the only team to lose, like, 100 games in a season, like, the last few years. Like, them and maybe someone else. Like, they're so bad. Like, imagine if your team lost 90 games every year. 90.
Dude, yeah, we're Knicks
fans. That's called being a Knicks fan.
What's wrong with you? Stop feeling
bad. At least with the Knicks, it's only like 50, maybe.
No, by the way, losing
90 games.
That's 50.
Yeah, losing 90 out of 162 is the equivalent of the Knicks losing 45, which they've done every single
year. That's a good year. That's a really
good year. But it stings less. And it's not every day. It's like, oh, God, we got to play the Yankees again. Like, Jesus Christ.
By the way, you really made the Orioles sound really good when you said, imagine losing 90 games. If they go 70 and 92, that's a good year. The Orioles have 39 wins right now, and we have a month left in the season. A month and a half.
Whatever.
Stop giving out fucking sorrows.
All right, imagine losing
teams.
100 times a year.
The Orioles are about to go 50 and 112.
All right, so it was off by 20. An extra 20 loss. Well, if you can withstand 90, you can probably withstand the next 20.
It's really so sad.
I actually got a stat, just a little plug for the Yankees here, but Gleyber Torres had his 13th home run against the Orioles this season. Most by any player against a divisional opponent.
Kid's an absolute stud. The whole team,
wild.
Top to bottom, savage.
Talk about having a team's number. I mean, this guy just goes to... He had six RBIs tonight.
They eat their lunch. They eat their dinner. They eat everything. The only guy more on fire against the Orioles than Torres is Urshela. Gio Urshela came out of nowhere and had multiple home runs in multiple games in the last week.
Seven homers.
Well, he came out of nowhere for this season. That's been the great theme for the Yankees.
Next man up.
Today some guy hit homer. His name's Mike Tobin, our backup first baseman. Really? Never heard of him. Batting 160.
Oh, I did. He went to Kushner Yeshiva.
Yep.
You get him. You get Cameron. They got Cameron Maybin this year. What was it, $25,000 or something?
Cameron Maybin was on his way to the big three.
All
of a sudden, the Yankees were like, Cameron Maybin.
It all comes back to
come
the big
ditch
three.
Your crutches, come to the Yankees, steal some bases.
That's been the best
runs.
Part of this team. And every time when you want to say, do they have the pitching? Do they need it?
No.
Do they need it?
We will need it against the Astros, but I don't want to talk about the Astros right now. All right, fine. We can talk about the Astros.
No, we do not. We'll get there when we face them in the big show.
Yeah, they're better. They're better than the Yankees. Their pitching is just far superior. It's making me depressed. I don't want to talk about it. The only guy more depressed is Alex Rodriguez, who had $500,000 in stuff stolen from his car today.
I like how you just said stuff. Stuff. And goods. Goods. And jewelry. Electronics.
And that's what I was going to ask. Define stuff. What the fuck was in A-Rod's car that was $500,000? There wasn't the car. They didn't steal the car.
There could have been million-dollar bonds sitting in there from like the 1930s just accruing.
Well, then it would be more than $500,000.
What a bond was worth. Maybe it was like a $10 bond.
In bonds.
It could have been
gold bricks.
It could have been the King Midas' gold.
All of King Midas' silver.
Oh, King Midas'
silver.
That's
funny. It could have been a $10 bond.
It could have been
a penny stock from the 20s just sitting in there.
I don't know what electronics are $500,000 that fit in a car, like that aren't a car.
I bet you that he just had like
a state-of-the-art.
Serious Patek sitting in the front. Somebody bashed in the window and stole it.
Yeah, probably a bunch of watches.
Probably a watch.
Might have been the Patek Sport.
Oh,
if I may say so myself, a fine timepiece.
Maybe it was like the new Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For like $600.
Yeah. Or maybe the unlisted Apple Watch that like was specifically designed by Steve Jobs right before he died, and it was like
You're sporting an Apple Watch. Are you admitting something?
I took A-Rod's Apple Watch. I left the goods back in the whip. Happened in San Francisco. So New Yorkers, rest assured, this did not happen in our city.
Yeah, you're fine. There's just still garbage everywhere. It's okay.
And it smells like shit.
You know why?
We don't know why. We don't know why. We're just going to pretend like it's part of the city and the garbage is just stuck to the ground.
This is what we signed up for.
Nobody's done anything wrong.
De Blasio!
It just keeps falling out of the sky. It's like mana. It keeps falling out of the sky.
You know Bill de Blasio is the number one fan of the Boston Red Sox and he's the mayor of New York City?
You know he's German?
Do you know that his name is William Wilhelm? Of course he did. German. Do you also know that Bill de Blasio eats his pizza with a fork and a knife? Well documented. I have a photo. I'll share it.
Please do not.
We got a couple things to share tonight. We got to post Victor's list of the odds. We got to post a picture of William Wilhelm.
Don't worry, Ben will do that on his own accord.
William Wilhelm.
He sounds like he's from a Wes Anderson movie.
Willy Willy.
Or a Tarantino film where he's stabbed in the jugular and bleeds out.
He's Willy fucking Willy.
Don't you forget it.
He's a real schmuck. He's really terrible.
Let's jump to our quick hits, like our little one-line headlines. Soph, Lito, tell me what happened today. I heard some college football news.
You're itching that much that you jumped through it?
Jump through what?
Texting us all day, we have to talk about the Miami Hurricanes. Even though I know that three of you on this podcast listen to the Miami Hurricanes.
Three of us. Ben is officially two people.
I'm two.
One of his people.
Why you?
He's talking to our fans. I thought he was like, us three. I'm like, us three.
Victor, lay off the drugs. The Miami Hurricanes.
Seeing eight people, so apparently I'm taking some of his stash.
The Miami Hurricanes named Jaren Williams, whoever the hell that is starting QB over Tate Martell. The only thing that I know about Tate Martell is that he is married to an absolute smoke. Dating. Why, they didn't have holy matrimony in the church?
Kid's like 18.
Could you have picked a worse introduction to a headline that has nothing to do with someone's girlfriend?
But his girlfriend is a smoke.
An Ignite model. Ignite. Dan Bilzerian? Bilzerian?
One of Bilzerian's broads. The Bilzerian Brigade.
Ignite.
But Jaren Williams is the quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes.
Against Florida in just under 2 weeks.
How does that make you feel?
I don't really have an issue with it. I think Jaren Williams is the most pro-style quarterback of the three. It's definitely a shocker because Tate Martell was like this highly touted prospect, went to Ohio State, went through the transfer portal, landed at Miami. It was thought that it was his job to lose, and Jaren Williams was kind of like the third of the three quarterbacks who was convinced not to transfer, and he just goes out and wins the job. I mean, if Manny Diaz and the coaching staff say this guy's the best guy to go against the Gators, then I'm all for it because you couldn't really go wrong with any of the three. I know Miami's had some really poor quarterback play as of late.
I mean,
but
poor's putting it lightly. The thing that shocks me is that Martell coming out of playing high school football in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, Bishop Gorman.
He was the sixth.
No, Vegas.
Was it Vegas? Georgia.
He went to Bishop Gorman.
He was from
Gorman.
Georgia then. I thought he was from Georgia.
I'm 100%
either way,
Martell's
Georgia,
not from Georgia.
Georgia, Vegas.
Maybe who gives a shit?
The point is, he was the six-rated dual-threat quarterback coming out in 2017. Red shirts in OSU under Urban Meyer. I mean, he's playing behind, who was our boy, JT Barrett? No, that guy's been gone for a while. What was his name? Quarterback? Dwayne Haskins.
And then Justin Fields transfers.
And Justin Fields. That's the guy from Georgia.
Yeah.
And it comes full circle. I'm just shocked. We also love what we saw in Nkosi Perry last year. We were down that great Florida State game. He had an unbelievable game. Look, if this is the guy they want to go, in Diaz we trust, and we move on.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter who's their quarterback. Miami's going to continue to be -7.5. They're going to continue to win by 3 in those games. And not cover for anyone, not make anybody any money, lose, not win. That is the definition of losing. And
we're not favored in week 0 against the Gators.
You're not favored in anything.
And if you think you have a problem, call our hotline 1-800-SCHWITZ.
1-800.
Not even 7 digits. It won't work. It won't go through to anybody. Good luck.
You can talk to God. I have a question coming out of this. How long does it take for Kiki Paso to dump Tate Martell now that he is not the quarterback?
What's the Vegas
Miami?
Line at?
Over under 4 weeks.
A month, you're saying?
No, 4 weeks. It's a baby. It's like an infant. You say it in weeks. Over under 3.5 weeks.
A trimester.
Over under 3.5 weeks.
I think because the Miami quarterback is such a volatile position that, you know, in a month we could be like, oh, Tate Martell, starting quarterback. I'm going to go over. I think she's got trust in her man. But I don't know if I'd go over like 2 months.
Vic, over under 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, I think over. The game's in 12 days. Who are we kidding? Sorry, not 12 days. Maybe. I know. 12
days.
Yeah,
12 days.
12 days.
And you know she's not leaving Miami. So, I mean, he's going to have to leave Miami for this thing not to work out.
Yeah, how about she upgrade to
Jaren Williams?
No, or a Miami Dolphin. How about she go after
to Fitzpatrick? Josh Rosen?
Fitz is a family man.
Our brother.
I'm down.
A fellow Jew.
That would be a good catch for
Josh Rosen. It would
be
a great one.
That would be a big fish for the tribe.
She'll now be Kiki Rosen and attend shul weekly.
She's probably going to go hunting for the next biggest pro quarterback out there.
Yeah.
That could be Dak Prescott, who...
Wow, transition
$30 million apparently is not enough for Dak Prescott, and I understand his pain now because he's finishing out the rookie deal.
What's he being paid now?
There's 20 other players being paid ahead of him right now. I think he's $4 to $6 million. 20 players in the Cowboys roster being paid more than him. They have, I think, 4 guys that make double digits, if not over $14 million, and now it's time for him to get paid. You've got the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Amari Cooper is on the last year of his rookie deal. Dallas has expressed they want to keep all 3 of these guys here, yet so far it looks like they're going 0-2. He hasn't said he's holding out, but I don't know why he thinks he needs $30 million when Matthew Stafford's the only guy that gets $30 million.
And he doesn't deserve it either. Dak Prescott does not deserve $30 million.
How old is Dak?
26.
This sounds like Latrell Sprewell all over again.
This is
how do you expect me to feed my family? Sir, if you serve them prime rib every night for every meal of the day, you'll have more than enough money to live wherever you want.
Yeah, and where's Latrell Sprewell?
Out of the NBA because he didn't take the deal.
Out of the NBA? He's homeless. Literally, he's homeless.
Is he not in the
Big
Three?
Is that who I saw on the street?
Is he not in the Big Three?
No, you don't remember the...
No, he's not. He can't play.
Maybe now he's recovered a little bit, but I remember a story from a couple of years ago that he had to take his kids out of private school, send them to public school, and he foreclosed on his house and filed for bankruptcy.
Not public school.
I just want to read you the...
Not Scarsdale Public School.
The highest paid quarterbacks in this
Can we guess? Can we hold on? Could Ben and I try and guess quickly?
You want to guess name and amount?
Or no. Just name. Soft. Go. Lead us. Top three to five.
Give me your top three.
Okay. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford. Okay. I knew that already. And somebody terrible. Kirk Cousins.
In that order?
Oh, I like that.
You had two out of three. I won't tell you the three.
Stafford won. By the way, Rodgers isn't in it. I'm going to go Kirk Cousins, two. I don't know who's the third.
Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco. That contract finally ended.
I like the Cousins. I like the Aaron Rodgers and not Alex Smith. No.
What?
I don't know.
Alex Smith?
Didn't he sign a new deal?
No, maybe Cam Newton.
Fuck. Nope. All right, who is it? In the top 10. Stafford. At a whopping $29.5 million a year for a team that maybe makes the playoffs.
They're going to be good this year.
Kirk Cousins at $29 million. And Andrew Luck, $27.5 million. Brady's right there at $27 million. Aaron Rodgers, $26.5 million to round out the top five.
That's interesting.
Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton.
So just to be clear, Dak Prescott, who has never led his team to the Super Bowl, who is a system player, good runner, not a great passer.
You make going to the Super Bowl sound easy.
Saying that it is, but I'm saying somebody that hasn't achieved a whole lot yet just turned down being the highest paid player, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Basically. That is insanity.
It is weird that he wants double digit. Like, he wants the difference 40. To be double digits. Also, he wants to have 11 million more than that.
How do you want to keep the guys around? Like, why wouldn't that 10 million
clearly
go to
doesn't
Zeke?
Matter to him.
Why wouldn't 7 of that 10 go to Zeke and 3 of it go to Amari Cooper?
Exactly, and that shows me that he's a terrible teammate.
Yeah. By the way, he could have just lost the locker room.
Everyone's just on their high horse.
They should get Nathan Peterman.
There's too much money. Oh, my God.
Speaking of Peterman, did you see that run?
This is monstrous.
Did we post that run?
Did you see that run? It's better you say, did you see that? And I don't know if that's bad, because see that run can mean he got the absolute crap knocked out. I always think the worst of Nathan Peterman, when you throw 5 interceptions in less than 2 quarters.
He's historically the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I will never forget
that. But clearly
that.
People see something in him because he keeps playing. He had a 65-yard run.
Yeah. He's the best preseason football player of all time.
They see something in him. Maybe the guy just like shits his pants.
Yeah.
Just dude.
Where did
all
he go to college?
Nathan Peterman.
Was he like a good college player?
That's a real fan. If you know where Nathan Peterman went to college.
Oregon State.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, guys, it was Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, as we like to call it.
Pittsburgh, baby.
A little disappointing,
just
but it's Pittsburgh.
It's going to bug me forever.
Well, I doubt that anybody picked Dak Prescott in this poll, but this week's DM was, who are you taking with the number one pick in your fantasy football draft? I'd like to go around the room, share ours, then share a couple of our submissions. I'm taking Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, I think his workload is going to be through the roof. I anticipate that he has over 30 touchdowns this season. That is a very bold statement by me. No, seriously.
30?
30. I think he is.
I don't think the Giants get 30 touchdowns.
I think he is 1.5 a game.
Wow. Lofty. Play a little devil's advocate, although I've said Saquon. I like Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
Workhorse in New Orleans with Drew Brees.
Great, Vic. You?
I was going to say that I've gone on this podcast and said I would take Ezekiel Elliott. I'm now shifting my I'd be shocked if he wasn't playing week one stance to there's a small, tiny chance he sits out. I cannot take that risk with him. I would be going with Alvin fucking Kamara, the guy. They said the workload's not really going to change that much, but Sean Payton may be playing some games. The guy's only getting better. Stock's only getting higher. Alvin Kamara, that nose ring.
Yeah,
I'll take him.
He's got that
I will take him to the finals, baby.
He's got that cool bull ring or whatever the hell that is. He's
septum, dope. Septum ring.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
He's popular these days.
Oh, yeah.
He's Vic, cool could guy. You get one if – just get one.
No, you, one? You have to say
oh, get a bull ring. I was
fine.
Like, get what?
Whoever loses the Schwitz Fantasy Football League gets a bull ring.
All right. That sounds very unrealistic, but sure, whatever. I guess I got to win.
Yeah, just don't lose.
I guess
just don't lose.
So Laceface 616 said something very, very interesting to me. Because you never ever take a quarterback one overall, but we've also never seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes in fantasy. Patrick Mahomes is who she said that she'd pick one overall. And I'd actually like to open it to the floor very quickly. Is that insane?
Yeah. It's crazy. And it may not even be worth it. There's always two philosophies in fantasy. You can rise to the bait of the first guy that takes a quarterback, or you can wait until the 7th, 8th, or 9th round when they're still the back end of the top 10 fantasy points. Not just top 10 quarterbacks. The guys who just consistently deliver and hit the benchmark. You can wait. You don't blow your load early.
I don't think it's crazy. I think Patrick Mahomes is doing things that just make him, much better than any other quarterback fantasy-wise.
But he's not having 50
He's had several 500-plus-yard games with
six
touchdowns.
I need to see it again.
Well, you might, and you don't want to be the guy who passed on him. It's not my philosophy, but I wouldn't blame anyone goes Mahomes and is like, I've got a guy who's giving me 40-plus fantasy points a game.
I thought it was interesting.
Another good answer that I've seen a little bit, Brody DeVia, who actually gave him an abbreviation, CMC, Christian McCaffrey. It's not the popular pick, but it's sneaky.
He's a
PPR.
He could be a similar workload to Saquon. He could have. He's that exactly. Dual catch run. He could have a ton of touchdowns. I think that's
great. Actually, he is a better receiver than Saquon was. Again, we're taking one and two year sample sizes here, but great sample sizes.
Lauren Elizabeth, Justin Tucker. I hate to break it to you, Lauren, but I think you're going to lose fantasy this year.
You need to be playing in some of those leagues that use individual defensive players, or what they call IDPs. It's a thing. It's out there, but I don't think they're going number one.
Justin Tuck, huh?
I thought you said Justin Tucker as a joke. Sorry, Justin Tuck. Didn't you say Justin Tuck?
Tucker.
Oh, the kicker?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to be my rant.
Unless you're in one of those non-kicker leagues.
I thought we had like a Giants fan who was like,
We did do that kicker league.
No, because someone wrote Plaxico Burress RIP, so I started thinking past Giants. I
like Plaxico Burress.
So I immediately thought Justin Tuck.
RIP.
I like last one, Keto Tucky. Shout out Keto Tucky. James Conner. Hell of a story, but also going to be a nice stud this year. He's going to get a huge workload, James Conner.
Yeah, I don't think that...
Not my first pick, but I mean...
No, not
first
my first pick
of the
either.
Third round.
No, in Keto Tucky, you're great, but if you...
Yeah, we love you.
If that's your first pick, you're in trouble. But if that Pittsburgh O-line didn't really change...
Honestly, who knows? Antonio Brown's out of there. Roethlisberger's on the decline. Yeah, maybe Conner's
Antonio
incredible.
Brown, by the way.
By the way, Juju Smith-Schuster. Probably got to think of him.
Legend. Yeah,
he's going to be doubled and triple teamed. Doesn't matter because he's too fast.
He's damn fast. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. That is our show for this week. As always, you can follow us at The Schwitz on Instagram. You can join our private Facebook group, The Schwitzers. We are still accepting applications. You may or may not get accepted. It's a tough door, but I would recommend that you try and join. It's pretty fun in there. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at VWeb.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
Brooks Koepka, we love you.
Schwitz season.